From Tidbits on April 28th, 2014, this is Apple posts record quarter two 2014 revenues despite slipping iPad sales. Written by Josh Centers and Michael E. Cohen. Apple has reported profits in line with the company's predictions for nearly all of its products for its fiscal 2014 second quarter, with revenues of $45.6 billion and net profits of $10.2 billion, or $11.62 per diluted share. The company's profits are now up 6.9% compared to the year-ago quarter. Despite claims that the company has stopped growing, Tim Cook's Apple is still going strong. Apple has also announced that it will return over $130 billion to investors by the end of the calendar year 2015. Apple's board has increased its share repurchase authorization to $90 billion from the $60 billion level announced last year. The company is also increasing its quarterly dividend by 8%, with additional increases every year. Additionally, Apple has announced an unusual 7-for-1 stock split, dropping the share price significantly. If it had happened on the day of the earnings report, it would have reduced the price per share from roughly $525 to $75, thus making shares easier to buy for small investors. Each shareholder will receive 6 additional shares for each current share by the end of June 2, 2014, with split adjusted trading to begin on June 9, 2014. The iPhone saw a huge 16.8% increase in sales over the year-ago quarter, and even the Mac saw an impressive 4.7% increase in sales over the year-ago quarter, especially in the face of PC sales, which continue to plummet. However, sales for the iPad fell by a whopping 16%, and sales for the now unloved iPod plummeted 51% compared to the year-ago quarter. While iPad sales fell below analysts' expectations, CEO Tim Cook said that it was at the high end of our expectations. Cook said that the main reason was that Apple produced fewer iPads than it had in the year-ago quarter. Also, while there was pent-up demand for iPad mini models last year, that didn't happen this year. Will Microsoft Office, released last month, boost iPad sales? Maybe. Office, I believe, does help, Cook said. If it had happened earlier, it would have been even better for Microsoft, frankly. Cook mentioned that Office now had several competitors on the iPad, including Apple's own iWork suite. I wholeheartedly welcome Microsoft to the App Store, Cook said. Despite worrying iPad and iPod figures, Cook said that the quarter produced very strong results, and that quarter 2 2014 was the strongest non-holiday quarter ever. Cook went to great pains to explain that the lower iPad figures in particular had more to do with how Apple was handling channel inventory than with demand. He pointed out that iPad had a spectacular 98% customer satisfaction rating, noting that no other consumer product gets that. He revealed that iPad was selling strongly in all 3 market segments: consumer, enterprise, and education. In this last segment, he said, the iPad had a 95% market share. What's more, Apple's digital download business is booming. iTunes brought in $4.7 billion in the second quarter, an 11% year-over-year increase, and a new quarterly record. Surprisingly, Apple's announcements thrilled Wall Street for once, with shares rising more than 7% in after-hours trading. But even with the surge, Cook cautioned that stock price does not reflect the full value of the company. In other news, Cook announced that Burberry CEO Angela Ahrens is finally joining Apple next week as its Senior Vice President of Retail and Online Stores, after much speculation in the press that she was dragging her feet. As for Apple's future, Cook said that the company will expand into new product categories, investing in research and development, the supply chain, and marketing and distribution. But while Cook said that Apple was not going to underinvest in its future, at the same time, it won't blow its substantial cash reserves of $156 billion. We need to maintain financial flexibility, Cook insisted. He pointed out that, nonetheless, Apple had acquired 24 companies in the past 18 months. Upcoming Chief Financial Officer Luca Maestri, who will be taking over from outgoing Financial Officer Peter Oppenheimer in June, took charge for much of the quarterly investor call. One of the most interesting things Maestri commented on was a push for streamlining the U.S. tax code so that Apple would be incentivized to bring more of its cash back onshore, which would be a great benefit to the company, he said. Apple has been criticized for its use of offshore tax havens. Cook also gave a warm send-off for Oppenheimer, who Cook said had never once missed guidance in his 10 years as CFO. Apple is more than 20 times the size it was than when Peter took over as CFO, Cook said, thanking him and wishing him the best. As for what's coming, Cook said that Apple was working on new things but isn't ready to pull back the curtain yet. Cook added rather philosophically, "It's better to get it right than to get it first." Customers want great, insanely great. We're not in a race to spend the most or acquire the most. We're in the race to create really great products, Cook said. As always, analyst Gene Munster asked about the Apple TV. But for once, he didn't ask about a mythical TV set, but instead posed a thoughtful question about why Cook no longer considers the Apple TV a hobby, and asked for Cook's reaction to increase competition from Amazon. "The reason I stripped off the hobby label is when you look at the sales of the Apple TV box itself, and you look at content that was bought directly off of Apple TV, that number was over $1 billion, Cook said, adding that Apple has sold 20 million Apple TVs to date. As for worries about Amazon, Cook coolly said that Apple TV's content is comparable with its competitors. This is Tidbits, sponsored in part this week by CrashPlan, Smile, ScanSnap, and Avatron Software. To follow links, make comments, read related articles, subscribe to our podcast, and get updates via email, RSS, Twitter, Facebook, and our iOS app, visit us at tidbits.com. I'm Michael Cohen, and thanks for listening.